Today we will read verse 31 from the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, first chapter titled Observing the Amis. And we may also read text 32 to 35, but we start with 31 and we can recite together. Yana Shayana Pashami. Can you repeat? Yana Shayana Pashami.
Which verse? Text 31.
What page is it on yours? 50. Okay, so please repeat. Nasa Shayana Pashami.
Nasa Shayana Pashami.
Hatvas Vajana Mahave.
Hatvas Vajana Mahave.
Nakankshe Vijayam Krishna.
Nakankshe Vijayam Krishna.
Nasa Rajam Sukhanicha.
Nasa Rajam Sukhanicha.
Nasa Shayana Pashami. Hatva vachanam ahave. Nakankshe vijayam Krishna. Nasa rajam sukhanicha. Nasa chayana pashami. Hatva vachana mahave.
Hatva svajana mahave.
Nakankshe vijayam Krishna.
Nakankshe vijayam Krishna.
Nasarajam sukhanicha.
Nasarajam sukhanicha.
Nasare. Nasa Shayana Pashami.
Nasa Shayana Pashami.
Hatva Vajana Mahave.
Hatva Vajana Mahave.
Nakankshe Vijayam Krishna.
Nakankshe Vijayam Krishna.
Nasa Rajam Kuna Sukhanicha.
Nasa Rajam Sukhanicha.
So, someone wants to try. Okay. Please, word for word translation, please repeat. Na.
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 No.
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 Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Shreya.
Shreya.
Good.
Good.
Anupashami.
Anupashami.
Do I foresee?
Do I foresee?
Hatva.
Hatva.
By killing.
By killing.
Svajanam.
Svajanam.
Own kinsman.
Own kinsman.
Ahave.
Ahave.
In the fight.
In the fight.
Na.
Na.
No.
No.
Kankshe.
Kankshe.
Do I desire.
Do I desire.
Vijayam.
Vijayam.
Victory.
Victory.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Oh Krishna.
Oh Krishna.
Na.
Na.
No.
No.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Rajam.
Rajam.
Kingdom.
Kingdom.
Sukhani.
Sukhani.
Happiness thereof.
Happiness thereof.
Cha.
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 Also.
Also.
The translation and the purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. I do not see how any good can come from killing my own kinsman in this battle. Nor can I, my dear Krishna, desire any subsequent victory, kingdom, or happiness. So please repeat. I do not see how any good can come,
how any good can come
from killing my own kinsman,
from killing my own kinsman
in this battle,
in this battle.
Nor can I,
my dear Krishna,
desire any subsequent victory,
desire any subsequent victory,
kingdom or happiness,
kingdom or happiness.
Purport Without knowing that one's self-interest is Vishnu or Krishna, conditioned souls are attracted by bodily relationships, hoping to be happy in such situations. In such a blind conception of life, they forget even the causes of material happiness. Arjuna appears to have even forgotten the moral codes for a Kshatriya. It is said that two kinds of men, namely the Kshatriya, who dies directly in front of the battlefield under Krishna's personal orders, and the person in the renounced order of life who is absolutely devoted to spiritual culture, are eligible to enter in the sun globe, which is so powerful and dazzling. Arjuna is reluctant even to kill his enemies, let alone his relatives. He thinks that by killing his kinsman, there would be no happiness in his life, and therefore he is not willing to fight. Just as a person who does not feel hunger is not inclined to cook. He has now decided to go into the forest and live a secluded life in frustration. But as a Kshatriya, he requires a kingdom for his subsistence, because the Kshatriyas cannot engage themselves in any other occupation. But Arjuna has no kingdom. Arjuna's sole opportunity for gaining a kingdom lies in fighting with his cousins and brothers and reclaiming the kingdom inherited from his father, which he does not like to do. Therefore he considers himself fit to go to the forest to live a secluded life of frustration. Now I will first read Bhujan Prabhu's comments. All that Arjuna sees in front of him is the death of all his kinsmen. So, I don't want that, Arjuna is saying. I do not want that kingdom. And the Acharyas, they translate. One meaning of Krishna is the all-attractive. Krishna means one who attracts. If someone is attracting you, it is pulling you. So our Acharyas translate Krishna as one who pulls others around. So he's pulling around Arjuna here, all around changing his mind and letting him think in so many things so that the Bhagavad Gita can be spoken. Then Arjuna's reply is that when you get a kingdom, I don't want a kingdom, as I am supposed to think of you. I understand the preaching of Bhagavad Gita already. I am not going to be happy by material things. So, I want to be happy by you. Let me not fight. I do not want to think about the kingdom. That's what Bhujan Prabhu says. Interesting is here that we explained last time that Arjuna said, yeah, he was feeling great compassion for his kinsmen. He did not want to kill them. Srila Prabhupada says, yes, this is the sign of a pure devotee. Is feeling great compassion for others. Then the next purport says, Srila Prabhupada says, that Arjuna's feeling of compassion is a sign of great weakness. So that seems contrary. But the reason we explained it is a weakness, because he's a Kshatriya. Kshatriya means he has to do his duty as a Kshatriya, like a policeman has to arrest a criminal, and all these gurus are like criminals, and they have transgressed all the codes of religion, that there were six or seven reasons in the Shastra why, for which transgressors of religious codes can be killed, and they have transgressed them all. That, but the reason here is that Arjuna is not like us. He's not under the influence of Mahamaya, or the illusory energy. No, because he's a pure devotee, he's not a conditioned soul. But Krishna, he brings him under Yoga Maya, the spiritual illusion. And he controls his mind, and he brings all these things into his mind so that he can ask the right questions, so that Krishna can speak Bhagavad Gita. That's what Bhurijan Prabhu is saying here. That so therefore Arjuna is acting in very strange ways. As a Kshatriya, this is just unthinkable. that suppose you have because he has ordered Krishna put a chariot between the two armies. They are between the two armies, and they are just before Bhishma Deva, Dronacharya, and Duryodhana. They are all there, and they see the chariot of Arjuna there in the middle. They are thinking what's happening there. That and then they see that Arjuna is putting his bow down, and I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe is Arjuna not going to fight? that Duryodhana must have already felt happy. it would have been strange that they are leaving the battlefield so suddenly, and Arjuna is going to beg. But Arjuna, he does not desire to fight. Let's first hear Purnachandra Maharaj comments. So he's saying, Nasa Shriya Nupashami. I do not see anything beneficial here. Hatva vajanam ahave, killing my relatives? Nakankshe, I do not desire that. Krishna may say, okay, you do not see anything good from killing your relatives, but you win victory and you get a kingdom and you will be able to enjoy in this way. But then he says, Nakankshe vijanam Krishna, I don't even desire victory. Raja Sukhani and or a kingdom or happiness I don't want. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti has commented that a warrior who is killed in the battle, or he mentioned that also a sannyasi or a yogi that leaves this world in a holy place like Kurukshetra attains the heavenly sun planet. So we see Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the purport. But this is coming from Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti. But one who kills get no such security. Arjuna's understanding is that those whom he kills get benefit, but he won't get that enjoyment because he's the one who is killing. The one who wins the battle does not go to the sun planet, but rather is getting the benefit of enjoying the kingdom and the power and the fame. But Arjuna say, Nakankshe, I do not want this. So therefore, he does not see any enjoyment for himself, because the usual enjoyment of a Kshatriya who is killing others on the battlefield is that they get the kingdom. He says, Nakankshe Vijayam, I do not want this victory. Nasa Rajam Sukhanicha. In the kingdom and the pleasures of the kingdom. I am not interested in this. So how can I enjoy doing this? So I may win the battle, but I will suffer greatly because I will not get the same benefit as those killed on the battlefield. Those who are killed will be elevated to the sun planet. So how will I enjoy? I won't get that security. And by the way, all the persons who are killed on the battlefield attained liberation. But there were two destinations. One to the impersonal Brahman and one to some Vaikuntha planets or beyond according to the person's mood of love. Two kinds of mokshas were given, or mukti, that is Svarupya mukti and Sayujya mukti. The ones who accepted Krishna as God, they got Svarupya mukti, and the ones who didn't accept he was God or were unaware of that fact, they got Sayujya mukti. Those two kinds of destinations were there. Now the next four verses describe that Arjuna is very concerned with enjoying. So, in this first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we have seen in the introduction that, of course, the title of the chapter is Observing the Armies. And in the beginning, the first 10 up to 14 verses is Duryodhana. Duryodhana approaching Dronacharya, and he's using very diplomatic words to encourage all the Kurus to fight at their full strength, and also his diplomatic nature appears from that. And then, after that, we have Arjuna who appears. Of course, there is the introduction of the two parties, or two sides, and the main fighters, and then the blowing of the conch shells, and that blowing of the conch shells. And after that, Arjuna and Krishna appears, and Arjuna is asking, put the chariot in the middle between the two armies. But there we learn from about the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna And now, after that, Arjuna begins to give reasons he does not want to fight, and he gives five reasons, and this is the first reason. Is here in this verse it appears, he says, I do not desire it. He does not desire it. And what's the reason? He says, I will not be able to enjoy. So his motivation is enjoyment. So what is enjoying? Where does the enjoyment go for? What's the object of enjoyment? It's the body. It's only the body who is going to enjoy. So, to enjoy, he needs, is very attached to his present situation, because when he said to Krishna, please put a chariot between the two armies. Where did Krishna put a chariot? We said last time, it's a front line of 41 miles. Where does he put it? Just before Duryodhana, Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev, his family members. Because Krishna has a plan, because Arjuna has attachment, bodily attachment. And they come all now to the surface now. That's he said, I do not desire it. Because when I win the kingdom, then I want to enjoy. But with my relatives, but I'm going to kill them. Nothing good will come from it, because I will not get the enjoyment. I'm going to get the opposite. That in the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada said, someone who sees that he's going to get the opposite what he desires, then he does not want to do it. That's normal. So here also, Arjuna says, there will be no enjoyment. And he thinks all the others, they will be, when I kill them, yes, they will go to the heavenly planets, but I'm responsible for killing them. I'm going to get sin. That will be the next reason. So he gives one reason after another. And in the second chapter, Krishna will, from the moment Arjuna surrenders to Krishna, Krishna will start to answer all this. That's because here it's a lose-lose situation. When I fight on the battlefield, then I will, even if I get a kingdom, I will not be able to enjoy, because I want to enjoy with my relatives. That's one thing he's saying. And if I don't win the kingdom, when I die, I don't have, because of my sins, I will go to hell, not to heavenly planets. So he says it's a lose-lose situation. Krishna later he will turn it into a win-win situation. He will say, if you win, you go to the heavenly planets. If you win, you will enjoy the kingdom, and if you lose and you die, you go to the heavenly planets. But now the reason is clearly here, I will not enjoy. So it's a selfish desire. My enjoyment is important in the whole thing. And that's the conditioned soul in this material world. Profit calculation. What profit am I going to get out of it? Otherwise, I'm not interested. I'm not going to do that. This profit calculation, that's exploitation, getting things out of it. But he does not consider what Krishna wants, but what he wants. And the whole Bhagavad Gita is mentioned to change that. That he does what Krishna wants, and forget about his enjoyment. That's acting on the spiritual platform of the soul, not on the bodily platform. All these bodily relationships with relatives, it's so temporary. It's all gone. That's when you get a little older, your father died, your mother died, it's all gone. Gone. does not exist anymore. So it's very temporary. And we see Arjuna is attached to the situation that it is now, but that all changes, material nature. Every moment you try to grab it, but it's changing, it's gone. Therefore it's illusory, because it's temporary. It's not that's not real, but it's temporary. Mm-hmm. So we will hear more about this reason of enjoyment. I will also read the next two, three verses, but it's one verse here, presented as one text. So I read the Sanskrit translation and the purport. Kim nora jena kovinda kim bukher chivitenava yesamarte kankshitam no rajam boga sukanicha taneme fasita yudhe pranam stjaktva dananicha acharya pitaraputras tataiva sa pitamaha matula svasura pautra sala sambatinastata etam naham tum ichami Nato imadusudana apitraloka rachyasya hetu kim nu mahikrite nihatya dartrastrana napitri satsanardana. O Govinda, of what avail to us are a kingdom, happiness, or even life itself, when all those for whom we may desire them are now arrayed on this battlefield. O Madhusudan, when teachers, fathers, sons, grandfathers, maternal uncles, fathers-in-law, grandsons, brothers-in-law, and other relatives are ready to give up their lives and properties and are standing before me, why should I wish to kill them, even though they might otherwise kill me? O maintainer of all living entities, I am not prepared to fight with them even in exchange for the three worlds, let alone this earth. What pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Purport. Arjuna has addressed Lord Krishna as Govinda because Krishna is the object of all pleasures for the cows and the senses. By using this significant word, Arjuna indicates that Krishna should understand what will satisfy Arjuna's senses, but Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses. If we try to satisfy the senses of Govinda, however, then automatically our own senses are satisfied. Materially, everyone wants to satisfy his senses, and he wants God to be the order supplier for such satisfaction. The Lord will satisfy the senses of the living entities as much as they deserve, but not to the extent that they may covet. But when one takes the opposite way, namely, when one tries to satisfy the senses of Govinda without desiring to satisfy one's own senses, then by the grace of Govinda all desires of the living entity are satisfied. Arjuna's deep affection for community and family members is exhibited here partly due to his compassionate natural compassion for them. He is therefore not prepared to fight. Everyone wants to show his opulence to friends and relatives, but Arjuna fears that all his relatives and friends will be killed on the battlefield and that he will be unable to share his opulence after victory. This is a typical calculation of material life. The transcendental life, however, is different. Since the devotee wants to satisfy the desires of the Lord, he can, Lord willing, accept all kinds of opulence for the service of the Lord. And if the Lord is not willing, he should not accept a farthing. Arjuna did not want to kill his relatives, and if there were any need to kill them, he desired that Krishna kill them personally. At this point, he did not know that Krishna had already killed them before their coming into the battlefield, and he was only to become an instrument for Krishna. This fact is disclosed in following chapters. As a natural devotee of the Lord, Arjuna did not want like to retaliate against his miscreant cousins and brothers, but it was the Lord's plan that they should all be killed. The devotee of the Lord does not retaliate against the wrongdoer, but the Lord does not tolerate any mischief done to the devotee by the miscreants. The Lord can excuse a person on his own account, but he excuses no one who has done harm to his devotees. Therefore, the Lord was determined to kill the miscreants, although Arjuna wanted to excuse them. So, main thing here is that Arjuna, he was trying to satisfy his senses. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that, because he is addressing Krishna as Govinda. Govinda, go means the senses. So, what gives pleasures to the senses? That's the name of Krishna. He gives pleasures to, so beautiful, he gives pleasures to everyone's sense. But he addressed him as Govinda in this verse, to say to Krishna, oh, you give pleasure to the senses, you should know what pleases my senses. This battle is not pleasing my senses. I don't see any good, let me go and to the forest and begging, and you kill them, Krishna. you do it. Let's see here what first Bhujan Prabhu says on this text. It's a short comment. It is interesting that Janardhan, there are many meanings of all Sanskrit words. Janardhan means the maintainer of all living entities. But one other meaning of Janardhan is Jana means living entity or persons, and Ardhana means killer. So Krishna is being called the killer of all living entities, and Arjuna is telling him, oh Krishna, you kill them. I just sit on the chariot and I do nothing. You be Janardhan. And therefore he's calling him like that. So there's a different meaning in all these names. It's fascinating. Of course, Arjuna surely does not want to fight. And he continues his argument. So he says, Kapritisya Janardhan. The last statement, Napritisya Janardhan. What pleasure would be there, Janardhan? In this verse, we see some reference to enjoyment, pleasure. He calls him Govinda, which means one who gives pleasure to the senses. So you are Govinda, you are supposed to give pleasure to my senses. Then where is the pleasure, Govinda? Kim Bugher Chivitenava? Where is the bogh, the enjoyment? What enjoyment will we get? Yesamarte kangsitam no. Why should I desire this? Rajambo rasukanicha. All these words mean enjoyment, pleasure. Calling him Govinda is also significant. Prabhupada mentions, Arjuna indicates that Krishna should understand what will satisfy Arjuna's senses. But Govinda is not meant for satisfying our senses. We are meant to satisfy his senses. So Arjuna is in Maya. He's in Yoga Maya, but he's in Maya. He's acting as a completely selfish person. And he refers to Krishna as Janardhan, who is the maintainer of all living beings. But Ardhana can also mean to destroy, as well to maintain. Janardhan means Jana, the people, and Ardhana, which means to maintain. But Ardhana can also mean to annihilate, to kill. You are Janardhan, you are the killer of all people. Why are you not going and kill them? And I sit here on the chariot and remain peaceful? Because you are already Janardhan, the killer of all living beings. If you kill them, I won't get any sinful reaction. When I kill them, I'll suffer. That's another reason. I get sin and I will suffer. That's what he thinks. Since you are Janardhan, you go and kill them, and I'll sit on the chariot. Prabhupada comments, everyone wants to show his opulence to his friends and relatives, but Arjuna fears that all of his friends and relatives will be killed on the battlefield, and he will be unable to share his opulence after victory. This is a common experience, a typical calculation of material life. Prabhupada also mentions that Arjuna did not want to kill his relatives, and if there would be any need to kill them, he desired that Krishna kill them personally, Janardhan. At this point, he did not know that Krishna had already killed them, and he was only to become an instrument of Krishna. You will see that in the 11th chapter, the universal form, there, Krishna will give Arjuna divine eyes so that he can see the universal form, which is a horrible form, and he sees how all these soldiers on the opposing side, they are all killed by the universal form. So Krishna is showing him, I already killed them all. You will only be the instrument. You will not be the doer, just my instrument, and kill them. But I killed them and you will win. That's so. Therefore it's mentioned here. Yeah, Krishna already killed them. Arjuna says, O Govinda, you know all the activities of all the senses. You know the activities of all the senses because you are all knowing. Please understand my mind. Tell me what's best for me. I know that the pleasure of a kingdom will not make me happy. Please tell me as a friend what will satisfy me. You are Sarvagya. You can answer all my questions. Yeah. And now for the third reason, which is papameva, sin. So that's the third reason why he does not want to fight. It will be five reasons. The first reason was, I do not desire it. I feel compassion for my... The second reason is enjoyment. I will not enjoy, so I do not want it. Now the third reason is, I will get sin when I kill them. I will get reactions and I will suffer. That we will discuss next time. But what's shown here is that practically all people in this world, they are in this duality of what's good and bad. And they live in that duality. This is good for my body, and this is bad. And that's their definition of good and bad. But there is not such a thing as good and bad. It does not exist. It's just in our minds. We think these things are good because it's good for the body. It gives pleasure to the body, enjoyment. Or things give suffering to the body, and that's bad. So in that way, we, from our bodily conception of life, from the viewpoint of I'm the body, we create this duality of good and bad. Arjuna is thinking from that position of this duality, good and bad, and say enjoyment. That's compassion for the body, sin and reactions for the body also. The reactions are for the body, for future bodies. It's all the body concept of life. And the Bhagavad Gita is mentioned, Krishna will speak the Bhagavad Gita and will get them out of that wrong, that material conception. He will get him out of it by and explaining yoga systems, how to come out of it, of spiritual techniques. Like in the second chapter, Arjuna will ask that, because in the second chapter, then, after all these reasons, after these five reasons, Arjuna will say to Krishna, I don't see it anymore. I'm completely confused. I just surrender unto you. You become my guru. And you tell it. You tell me what to do. And then he surrenders to and accept Krishna as his spiritual master, and then start to instruct him. In the second chapter, he will give first an explanation of the soul and the jnana, the knowledge of the soul, and what's spiritual and what's material. What's spiritual, Krishna says, does not change. What's material, it changes constantly, changing. And then Krishna will start to speak about a transcendentalist who acts as a spirit soul and not as the body. And then Arjuna asks, what's such a transcendentalist? How does he walk? How does he talk? So what it means by that, how can I recognize such a person? Where is this transcendentalist? How can I see? And the first characteristic, Krishna says, Prajati Yataka Mam Sarvapartam Naukatam, that a transcendentalist is giving up all lust, all desire for enjoyment, all lust. Because this is Manogatam. This is an invention of the mind. It's just an invention. How can we understand this? This is an invention. I told this already a few times, but about the mosquito. We have a mosquito. It stings, and we say, don't want it. Think this mosquito is our enemy. It's bad. But the poor living entity in the mosquito, it needs food, and your blood is its food, that's all. But we think it's bad because it's bad for my body. And the things which are beautiful and nice to look at and are soft to touch, that's good. That's what we like, or a sweet sound to hear, so many things. But that's only related to the body. The body is temporary, and the objects of the body, of enjoyment, are also temporary. And the mind thinks, I'm going to enjoy. That's the interaction between the senses and the sense objects. And that gives me pleasure or pain, good or bad, this interaction. But this is all, Krishna will explain that in Bhagavad Gita. It is all done by material nature, under the three modes of nature, the three gunas. And Krishna will explain that we are not a doer. yeah, not enjoy enough. but due to this misconception of duality, we strive for enjoyment, for a body which we are not, and we are even not a doer of all the things the body does. Thinking, feeling, willing of the subtle body, action of the gross body, is all done by material nature, and the soul only desires. Very strong philosophy. For a conditioned soul, this is practically impossible to understand. That people read Bhagavad Gita, but they have no idea what Krishna is saying there. That it requires deep realization of detachment and understand. Deep realization of detachment, inner detachment, to come to that point. That inner detachment is achieved by becoming attached to Krishna. Therefore, to get to that detachment, to cultivate that detachment, Krishna gives two processes in Bhagavad Gita. He gives a gradual process, step by step, karma yoga, because you become detached from the fruits of your activities, and gradually you get knowledge, because the lust appears from your heart, some sanity comes, and you understand, why should I work for this body? It's all temporary. One start to understand I'm a spirit soul, theoretically, and then one gives up work, and then one comes to jnana yoga, cultivation of knowledge. Then one comes to the point, cultivation of knowledge. Now I understand that I'm not a soul, but I have to put that in action. Then the yoga system, Ashtanga yoga, and then one becomes breathing exercise, becomes detached and goes inside. And it's a whole long process, which is practically impossible, all this yoga system. And then Krishna gives the direct process, the complete yoga, bhakti yoga. And that's the yoga of directly fixing the mind on Krishna, by always thinking of him. That starts at the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, till the 12th chapter. That's all about bhakti yoga, the direct process. And then after that, it's jnana. But this is all these explanations is the answers to remove Arjuna's doubts, which are explained here, especially this false idea of enjoyment. Krishna gives so many spiritual techniques, and says, Yisam spasya bhoga dukayonya evatya atyanta pandakantya na te shuramate buddha. The great sages have said that one who strives for sense enjoyment, it's just the cause of misery. It has a beginning and an end. It is not worthwhile to engage in it. You get just misery. So you want to enjoy, you get just misery. It's like the fish, and there is a fisherman put a line in his line in the water, and not the end of the line, there is the hook and the bait, and the fish comes and sees the bait and thinks, I'm going to enjoy. And he sees the bait, and it gets the bait, and at the same moment he's lifted out of the water. The fisherman takes the fish, cuts him open, all the insides out, and comes on the frying pan. So instead of enjoying, he gets fried. That's what you get. That's the result of the enjoyment. That even if you are so-called successful for some moment, it's very temporary. It's gone very quickly. That we see, I've seen already so many of my friends has have died young and at a younger age than me. Already gone. You don't know when it's going to come. You strive for enjoying it for this body, but soon you don't have the body anymore. Where's your enjoyment? Just insanity. So this is next week we will discuss. No, next week I'm in Paris.